Welcome to Torati Mechanach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Hanaleah Rappaport, and today we will be learning Sefer Shoftim, Perek Chaf Aleph, Chapter 21, our final Perek. We ended the last Perek with the civil war and the basic destruction of the tribe of Binyamin. The psukim that we're going to read now are going to be written in a little bit of a confusing order. We'll start with Pasuk Aleph, verse 1. Ve'ish Yisrael nishba b'mitzpah lemar. And the Jewish nation had sworn in mitzvah, saying, "Ish mimenu lo yitein bitay lebinyamin leisha." No one amongst us will ever give their daughter to allow Binyamin to marry one of us. Meaning, we are totally ostracizing Binyamin. That tribe can no longer marry into us. Both the Malbim and the Abarbanel say that this decision was made before they started their fight back there in mitzvah, when they were horrified by what had happened. Otherwise, the ensuing psukim won't make any sense. So this pasuk really should have been written in the last parak when they all come together in mitzvah, this oath that they take, that we're never going to let our daughters marry into Binyamin. But now we are after the war in pasuk Beis in verse 2, Vayevo ha'am Beisel, and the nation comes to Beisel, which the Mefarshim here identify as Shiloh, Vayeshvu sham ad ha'erev lifnei ha'alekim, and they sit there until the evening before Hashem, Vayis'u kolam vayivku b'chi gadol, and they cry. And they cry because they lost 40,000. They cry because they killed out so many. They cried because an entire tribe is almost wiped out. They're trying to figure out for themselves what happened here. And they did tshuva. And they said in Pasuk Gimel in verse 3, "Vayomu lama Hashem elekei Yisrael ha'isazais b'Yisrael." Why, Hashem, did this happen to us? They're crying over the 40,000 that they lost. And then, Lihipakeit Hayomi Yisrael Shevet Achad. And they're crying that they had to wipe out and almost destroy a whole Shevet in Yisrael. And the Malbim said that both of them are together, because if we hadn't lost the first 40,000, then we wouldn't have killed out the whole tribe. We would have taken nekama on the ones who actually did the action. But the second tragedy is because of the first tragedy. Why did this happen to us? Why did we find ourselves in this position of being killed and killing? Pasuk Dalet, verse 4. Vayimi macharas, and it was the next day, vayashkimu ha'am, and the nation gets up, and it's a symbolic getting up as well, vayivnu sham mizbeach, and they build there a new mizbeach, because we already have a mizbeach there, but they build a new one, because to show how important the occasion was, vayalu olos ushlamim, and they bring karbanos. But they still have some unfinished business. As they are trying to process what it was that happened here, Pasuk Hey, verse 5, Vayomu b'nei Yisrael, mi asher loy ala b'kahal mikol shiftei Yisrael el Hashem. They're trying to figure out, the Malbim said, that when we're trying to figure out what we lost, they realize that maybe somebody didn't join us in our fight. Ki hashvua hagdola haisala asher loy ala el Hashem ha-mitzvah lemar mos yumas. Because when we gathered there in mitzvah before the war, we didn't just make one oath, which is what that our daughters were not going to marry into Binyamin, but we made another oath which said that we all have to be here together, that everybody has to come and fight in this battle. And they were thinking that back then in the time of Yehoshua, we also lost the battle inexplicably. That was the Battle of the Ai. And the reason we lost the Battle of the Ai is because somebody broke a promise. And in that case, it was Achan who took from the spoils of Jericho. But in our case, maybe somebody broke the oath that we all took as a Jewish nation, which said, everybody must come and fight. And they were thinking and they were saying, this must be the reason that we got into this terrible tragedy. Pasuk Vav, verse 6, Vayinechamu b'nei Yisrael el Binyamin achiv. And while they were thinking about this, they were saying, like, what did we do? How is it possible that we fought our brother, Vayomru? And they said, Nigda hayom shevet achad mi Yisrael. What's going to happen to our Jewish nation if we're missing one tribe? We're 12 tribes, and we need to be 12 tribes. And there's so many midrashim that talk about the importance of having 12, and we pretty much wiped out one tribe. Pasuk Zayin, Ma na'aseh lahem lanosarim lanashim. Yes, there are 600 men left, but how are we going to find them wives? Va'anachnu nishpanu b'Hashem lebilti tet lahem mipnosenu lanashim. Because we swore that we're not going to give our daughters to marry them. And if we don't figure this out, a whole tribe is going to disappear, and this is unthinkable and also irrevocable tragedy, meaning it's going to be over and there's not going to be able, we're never going to be able to fix it. And so they decide to solve both problems at the same time. They did a chakira, they carried out an investigation and found that indeed there was one city, the city of Yavesh Gilad, that did not send anyone to come and fight. Therefore, the men of Yavesh Gilad were indeed chayev misa. They were worthy of death. The Abarbanel explains that Bnei Yisrael are going to go now and attack and wipe out the city of Yavesh Gilad for four main reasons. They felt, firstly, they felt legally bound by their public oath to execute anyone who didn't come and fight, and same problem, they lacked a king or the Sanhedrin to annul it. Secondly, they wanted to establish a harsh national deterrence that no city in the future would ever hold back from fighting a war that the whole Jewish nation was fighting. Third, practically, they desperately needed women who were exempt from this boycott that they made, so that they can give wives to the surviving 600 men from Binyamin. And also there was deep resentment that the Jews, who had lost 40,000 of their own men, killed out 26,000 of Binyamin, and they couldn't bear the fact that the people of Yavesh Gilad would say, we stayed clean of this whole thing, we had nothing to do with it. They felt they were chayev also because they, like I said, like the Malbim said, they figured that the reason that the war ended in such a tragedy is because someone somewhere had broken the oath, the shvua that we made, that we are all going to do this together. So they send an army to Yavesh Gilad and kill every male and every married woman. 400 women survived. There were 400 unmarried women in Yavesh Gilad. And at this point, they reconcile with Binyamin, and in Pasuk Yedaled, verse 14, Vayashav Binyamin be'esahi. Binyamin returns at this time, and they give them the woman that had survived from the wives of Yavesh Gilad. But there weren't enough, because there were 600 survivors and only 400 girls. How is it possible that they were able to give these wives to Binyamin if they made a promise that none of us are going to give our wives? Very simply, the people from Yavesh Gilad weren't at that, they didn't come to mitzvah, so they never made the promise, so that these girls, these women, were allowed to marry the 400, at least 400 survivors were now married. Pasuk Tesvav, Va'am nicham leBinyamin ki asa Hashem peretz b'shiftei Yisrael. And they understand, really, it's Hashem who made the breach in the Shiftei Yisrael. Now with this action, as often when we do something kind, even to an enemy or an adversary, it opens up our hearts, and by taking care of Binyamin, they start feeling bad for Binyamin that Hashem had done this terrible thing to them. Pasuk Tazayin, Vayomu Ziknei Ha'eda, the elders of the community said, Mana asal nosarim lenashim. What are we going to do for the rest of the men, Kinish Medab and Binyamin Isha, because we didn't just kill the men, we killed the woman too. Is there a way that we can figure out what to do with these extra 200? So they came up with an idea which would seem to be very bizarre to us with our modern day sensitivities. Pasuk Chaf Aleph. They tell the people of Binyamin, there is a festival, there is a chag that happens every year in Shiloh. The girls go out to dance in the fields. This is a matchmaking festival. And they tell the people of Binyamin, Uri Isem, go and see. Behine imietu benos Shiloh lachul b'mcholot. When the girls from Shiloh go out to dance their dance, v'itzasem min hakramim, go, you're going to come out from the vineyards where you'll be hiding. V'chataftam lachem ish ishto, v'benos Shiloh. And each person who's still missing a wife can go and, the literal translation, which I'm scared to say, is grab a wife from v'benos Shiloh, v'halachtam eretz Binyamin, and take these girls to Binyamin. Vahaya ki yavo avosam o achehem laruv elenu, and when their fathers are going to come to us, and they're going to say, how could you have given them this idea to just take our girls? Va'amarnu elehem chanunu osam, and we'll tell them, calm down, relax, act gracefully with them. Ki lo lakachnu ish ishto b'milchama, because when we fought the war in Yavesh Gilad, we didn't have enough women there to go around. So we needed to come up with this plan. Kilo atem nasatem lahem ka'es te'eshamu. if you're going to come and say that we have an oath that we're not allowed to give our girls to Binyamin, you're not the ones who gave them that you should be found guilty. You didn't give them. You're not going to be punished. You didn't go against the cherem. You took them. They took them. They took them on their own. There's a connection here. We know actually when this day of dancing is. There's a question about a holiday that we have that it seems to be very obscure, and we don't really know why it's a holiday. It's called Tu B'Av. And there are many reasons given why Tu B'Av is a special day of Simcha. One of the reasons given for the Simcha of Tu B'Av is that at this point, the generation figured out a way that although in our generation we made a promise that Binyamin is never going to be allowed to marry into our tribes, our children weren't there when we made that promise, that oath. So that this promise, this oath is only for one generation, and Binyamin is going to be able to become part of the tribes of Bnei Israel again. And this is a tremendous simcha, it's tremendous joy. There are many reasons given for Tu B'Av, but one of the other reasons is that this matchmaking festival, the girls would dance in white dresses, and they were borrowed white dresses so that there shouldn't be competition amongst them, no name brands here, and many shidduchim would happen, and this was a cause for celebrations. While this seems awful, the whole thing, to our modern ears, really it's a piece of legal theater, meaning everybody was in on it. The elders needed to save the 200 rest of the men from Binyamin, but they couldn't break their promise. They told the people of Binyamin, crash this party, in quotation marks, steal the bride so that the fathers wouldn't be guilty of giving them over. And they promised that they were going to smooth things over with the families afterwards. In Pasuk Chaf Gimel, Vayasu Kein B'nei Binyamin, and Binyamin did so, Vayis'u Nashim L'misparam Min HaMecholelos Asher Gazalu, and they were able to marry the woman. The 200 missing men who were missing wives were able to find from those who were dancing, Vayashuvu Al Nachalasam, Vayibnu Es Ha'arim, Vayeshvubam. And they went back to their Nachala, and they settled there, and things are going to go back to normal. An interesting twist of history. Of course, it's all HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the first king of the Jews would actually come from this tribe of Binyamin, Shaul HaMelech, from Giv'ah, or what we call Giv'at Shaul. And his first act as a king would be no less than saving the city of Yavesh Gilad from the hands of Ammon. When Shaul is killed by the Plishtim at the end of his life, it's the people of Yavesh Gilad who rescue his body and the bodies of his sons and bury them. In other words, what goes around comes around. This is not a coincidence. It's just a piece that brings conclusion and closure to it. We have a very anticlimactic penultimate pasuk to the Sefer. After this whole dramatic event, every man goes back home to a shevet, to his family. Again, they go back to their nachala. And we would think that there would be some sort of public awakening, some something to avoid ever having such a tragedy happen again, but no, because Bayamim Haheim Ein Melech Bi Yisrael, in those days there is no king in Yisrael. Each hayyashar be'enav ya'asa. Every person did as seemed right in his eyes. And again, we don't know exactly when these stories happened, Pesel Micha and Pilagash Begiva. Like I said, Chazal placed it at the beginning of this era, right after Yehoshua died. Some say it happened at the end, during Shimshon's time, or immediately after. It could have happened somewhere in the middle, but if you want to know how it could be that a son could steal from his mother, and that his mother could make an idol, and that a Levi could become a coin for Avodah Zarah, and that Dun could steal the whole idol business and set up shop, and that a bunch of men could rape a woman all night, and that her husband could cut up her dead body, and that a civil war could almost wipe out a tribe, well, here is the answer. Last pasuk, Bayamim Haheim, Ein Melech B'Yisrael, there is no king, Ish HaYashar Be'inav Ya'aseh. This is the way we started and the way we will end. Depressing? A little. The cycle? All too familiar to us. I'm recording this share a week after Purim. I hope by the time you listen, we will be celebrating a fantastic victory. But the cycle we know because we've been living it ourselves. It's exactly 6 years since our world shut down for COVID. 6 years of persistent messages from Hashem. We sin, Hashem sends us a reminder, we get all inspired, we repent, and then we forget. All too quickly, we forget. Shmuel wrote the Sefer, Shmuel HaNavi writes the Sefer, and he wrote it as an introduction to his era, when he's going to be anointing not one but two kings, Shaul temporarily, but then Malchus Beis David, which is eternal. We too live in a time of Ein Melech B'Yisrael, but hopefully through the lessons we learned, we know that we cannot do Ish HaYashar Be'inav Ya'aseh. We must listen to the dictates of our leaders, our teachers, and do exactly what the Torah tells us to do. We wait and daven for the day when there will once again be a Melech B'Yisrael as we break the cycle once and for all and together greet Pnei Mashiach Tzidkenu B'mehera V'yameinu. Amen. Thank you for learning together. It's been a beautiful journey for me. In the memory of our dear grandmothers, Miriam Schenker, Rachel Friedman, Teresa Schreiber, and Bella Oppenheimer, Aleihem HaShalom, Neshot Chayil, who lived with utmost commitment to Torah, Avodah, and Gemilas Chasadim, despite the physical and spiritual challenges they face living in the United States, Israel, or Europe. May their example continue to inspire our families and the family of Klal Yisrael. Nina and Chaim Schenker.